Blog Talk Radio.
Right, there you go.
be able to use your mic now.
I got it.
Okay. All right. Happy Thursday, everybody.
Happy Thursday.
I hope everybody's been doing well.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. I kind of overdid it physically the other day and caused the ligaments and stuff in my hips to swell up, and so I was just hurting. And so I had to spend the last day or so, just staying off my feet and taking some Motrin to take the swelling down, anti-inflammatory. There's physically, I know what my limits are, and sometimes, you know, you just, if you take a pain reliever or, you know, an aspirin, that I don't usually take those because if I'm hurting, I need to know that I'm hurting so I don't overdo it.
Right.
And I took like a Tylenol because I had a headache, but it also, took away the pain that I typically have in my hip. Okay. And then I was carrying water and overdid it. Caused everything to swell up. But, you know, I've taken and I don't usually take Motrin, period, but I took the Motrin because it is an anti-inflammatory and, you know, got the swelling and stuff to go down, so I'm good to go now. You have to remember, don't overdo it. That being said, everybody else is doing well. I need to talk to you, sisters, about these minutes because we can't get too far behind on them. So let me know what problem you're having, Sister Mary.
Okay. Remember when you sent them through the email?
Uh-huh.
And I tried to blow it up. It wouldn't blow up.
You tried to blow it up? You have a problem seeing it or what?
Pardon me?
You have a problem seeing it or what?
Yeah, so I could see it.
Okay. How small is it coming in on your screen?
Real small. It's two letters.
Okay.
It's small.
Let me look at that. And did you have issues submitting yours? Because I didn't see any from you as well.
No, I didn't have no. I haven't submitted them yet, but I haven't submitted them yet. I didn't try to submit them.
Okay, because we need those. We can't get behind or we'll be forever, what, behind?
Right.
And we can't do that. One of the things with a business is we have to do everything, the most I said, these men in order.
In order, yeah.
Yeah, but, you know, the business, the government's just got to be decent and timely.
Right.
And so, we have to get them done. So let's do this. Since you didn't have a problem, you just can do yours. Sister Mary, can you see if you are able to share your screen? So if you click on the icon where I usually share the screen at, where you go there?
Yes.
Click that and then click on Start Sharing. See if it'll let you do it.
Okay,
now when you click on Start Sharing, it should ask you, you only have one screen, right?
Right.
So it should show, you should either say screen or window. If you click on screen, then it should show you your screen that you're looking at right now.
Okay, it says entire screen and window.
Yeah, just click on entire screen. It won't matter. You're not doing anything you don't want us to know, right?
No.
Okay, so you can click on entire screen.
Okay, it won't click.
Is it dulled out?
No, it's lit up.
So when you click it, do you have, what is the button there that you can click? Is it like, do you have a start sharing button or whatever?
No.
Okay, what's on your screen?
I got this, it says, Glory to Yah, Profile 1. And at the top it has entire screen. And when I click on that, nothing changes, but can see up.
Yeah, nothing will change. Click that.
Okay.
So you clicked on start. Start Sharing. Did you ever click on Start Sharing?
Yes, I did. That's how I got here.
Okay. Hold on, mine is acting up just a second. Being slow. Trying to see exactly what you're seeing. Mine is stuck on trying to share. Go ahead and tell yours to sharing. It might say pause sharing or anything like that.
Nope.
You don't have that button?
Nope. And I just okay, it's gone.
Okay, let me see if I can share mine. I need to see what you were seeing. I'm going to have to go out and come back in because it's not giving me what I need to see. Okay. Let me start sharing. Okay. Choose what to share. Okay. Okay, let me cancel this. All right, go ahead and click Start Sharing again. I'm going to go out and come back in. You are trying to share now. All right, so when it came up with that what to share.
Right.
And you had, it was up to like window, entire screen, what have you, right?
Right.
And you can click each one. I think it comes up under the entire screen options.
Yeah.
Up. And then if you click window, it'll show you, you know, whatever windows you got open.
Right.
So if you click entire screen, then what you want to bring up.
I got the entire screen on.
Okay, then you only got one screen, so it should only be showing you one screen.
Right.
Okay. And then you should have I didn't go that far to see what that next screen is. Okay. You know how to get that far right now, right?
Right.
Okay.
And at the bottom it has. Not
at the bottom it has what?
It has share and cancel.
Click on share.
Okay, it's not doing anything.
All right. You got one window up there, up under windows, right?
Right.
Click that window. It's not going to do anything. It's just going to select it. And then click share.
Nope.
Are you getting
not doing anything?
Are you getting anything up under the? Are you using Chrome? Or are you using Edge?
I think I'm in Microsoft.
Okay. Go out and come back in Chrome.
Okay.
Yeah, go out and come back in Chrome because remember we discovered that Edge doesn't always act the way it's supposed to.
All right.
So, Denise, you just tell me you just didn't do it, huh?
Because I didn't know I didn't know I was supposed to have been doing that.
Right. Remember I sent you that one that has your signature block on it?
No, I didn't get that.
Yeah, you did. You saw it that night. You told me you did.
Yeah, I did that night.
Right. That's the one you're supposed to have been looking over and making yours look like that one.
Oh, okay. All right. My fault.
Okay, no worries. Let Sister Mary come back. How long do you think it would take you to get that down, Sister Denise?
I'm pulling it up now.
Okay.
Shalom.
All right, Shalom. Welcome back.
It won't let me in.
Chrome won't let you in?
Nope.
Did we change your password?
Pardon me?
Did we change your password?
Nope.
Hmm.
It won't let me into the site at all. This site is not something.
Secure. Protected.
No. It's like I can't get on the site.
Hmm.
That's what I said.
Interesting.
Want me to try again?
Or take a picture of it and send it to me so I can see what it's telling you.
Okay.
It shouldn't be, you know, it shouldn't be stopping you from coming on.
Okay. Yeah, I'm going out.
Okay. Can you check and see if your machine will allow you to share screen?
Yes, I can. Let me get back over there. I think I should try one. I think. Let me see. Okay, I'm back in the room. Now, you hit the hand, like hand, right?
No, you hit the
screen. Oh, you hit the three lines. And the...
Oh, you're on a mobile. You're on an app, right?
No, I'm on.
Yeah, if you look across, you should see a monitor.
Yeah.
Click the monitor.
Where's the whiteboard?
No, it will say start sharing. It's on the, you know where your exit is at?
Mm-hmm.
If you go straight across from there, do you see it say Yesteron Farms business meeting?
Yes.
And next to that should be a TV.
Looks like a hand.
You got a hand there. Okay. I'm going to have to change your permission. So I'll be right back. All right, Denise, you have to go out and come back in.
Okay.
Log out and log back in so you can get...
I can't hear you guys.
Okay.
You can't hear us? You can't hear me, Sister Mary? Sister Mary?
I can't hear you. I'm going to come out and go back to Microsoft.
No.
What? No, what?
I was talking to Sister Mary.
Uh-huh. Now I see a clear wave undo select. Okay, on your screen, Sister Mary.
Uh-huh.
Come down up under users.
Okay.
You see the little gear icon?
The what?
A gear icon. It's a circle.
Yeah.
Click that gear icon.
Okay.
And it's a choose device.
Right.
Okay, what is up under webcam?
Okay, webcam. disabled.
Okay. Click on, that's the only choice you got is disabled?
Yeah.
So Chrome is not recognizing your webcam then.
Right.
What do you have up on your microphone?
I got default microphone. Hi, is it something? C-E-F-I-R. It then has cam resources and got a lot of numbers down.
Okay. I'll just leave that default the way it is. Now, why would Chrome not be your webcam?
I have no idea.
Okay, that's the problem right there. It doesn't see your webcam. I don't have a webcam on this particular computer. So it shows disabled. Okay, got it. All right, let me come back in. It actually kicked me out. Okay, you're using WordPad, right, Sister Mary?
Yes.
Okay, let me just try to do it this way. You bring up WordPad.
So you want me to come out of here? Default and stuff?
Yeah, you can close that.
Okay.
Because I have to work with you specifically on your browser, because that's where the issue's at.
Okay, so you want me to go back in the Microsoft?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, I'll see you back in the room.
All right.
And Sister Denise, go ahead and try to go ahead and try to do sharing.
Okay. It's saying select your screen area. Start sharing.
Well, you clicked on the screen to show. You probably only have one, right?
No, I got two.
Okay, click on the screen that you want us to see.
What do you mean? Okay, it's got quality off screen and screen.
When you click on screen, it should show you whatever screens you got.
Oh. Yeah, screen and window.
Right. Click on screen.
Okay.
However many screens you got open. No, click on window. You don't want to go to screen. Click on window.
Click on window.
And that should show you however many windows you have open.
Mm-mm. Ain't nothing coming up. Because I ain't got nothing open.
But when you click on screen, what does it show?
No, nothing pop up. It just said, down here say desktop share. Then it say select your screen area.
But you don't see nothing in that window? You don't see nothing in that window?
No.
Okay, welcome back, Sister Mary.
Thank you.
Okay, we'll table this, Sister Denise. We'll do it another time.
Okay.
Because, okay, you're using WordPad. And how were you trying to blow it up, Sister Mary?
Because it came on my phone and it's so small.
Okay, you don't want to open it up on your phone ever.
Oh, okay.
You know, you need to do this on your computer.
Oh, okay.
Oh, okay.
And You don't never want to do this. It's going to always be small on your phone. And you're just making it hard for yourself because then you got to scroll across the screen trying to see all the words if you blow it up.
Right.
And it just would be, in my personal opinion, just be hell. So you have access to your computer, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I would do it on your computer. Then you won't have that problem.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, don't do it on your phone. Doing word processing or anything like that on your phone, especially if you don't have good eyesight or the best eyesight, if you can't see that small writing like some of those kids can,
right.
You don't want to do that. I never do word processing or anything from my phone because I can't see it. And so I don't even try to blow it up. So, yeah, you're going to want to do it from your computer. Then you won't have that problem. All right. Amen?
Amen.
Okay. All right. Let's let Sister Denise come back. We'll start this meeting. We're not going to be long. I'm actually going to just fill you guys in on something, and then we're going to table this meeting because I really need your minute.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't want to keep going meetings, and then, you know, we don't have a minute, and then if the government comes back and check, then they will say, you know, you're not doing what you said you're going to do.
Right, okay.
And so we'll table this, we'll officially table this meeting, but let us pray in. Have you cover your head, and let's pray in. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your loving kindness and your tender mercy. We thank you for life and health and strength today. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to come together and to do your business, Father. And every one of us, bless us in this meeting. In your still humble expression name, I pray. Amen and amen.
Amen.
All right. I'm going to share my screen. And I want us to consider this, and, you know, I want us to have another, you know, I'm going to do an official proposal for this, because I think it's a good ideal for generating income from the land once I check everything out, seeing what all we can do and what we can't do. So, let's see. We're on. I'm on. Okay, now you should have on your screen where I'm trying to share my screen.
Right.
Go ahead and pull it up.
Okay.
And
now that's what came up when I was trying to do it.
Yeah, if you got that far. You mean this screen right here is on mine?
Yeah.
Yeah, there was a screen that came up after this that you don't see that I clicked on. I had to click on what screen I wanted to share because I have, like, three screens. Clicked on, you know, what screen I wanted to share, and I clicked on share.
Okay.
So, yeah, you can't see it now because it goes away, you know, once I click it.
Right. Okay.
Okay. So I'm going to bring up. This is Airbnb, okay? You know, anybody not know what Airbnb is?
No, I don't.
Okay.
Airbnb is a alphabet, breakfast and bed.
Right. So it's where people rent out rooms or their entire house for people who are going on vacation or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they can...
Oh, like time sharing?
Yeah. But it's, you know, they don't pay into it. So you list whatever you want to, you list whatever you want to let people rent out. And if they want to rent it, then, you know, they'll book it through here and then you'll get the, you know, the notification if somebody wants to book it. And you go from there. You're responsible for, you know, keeping up, you know, the whatever it is that you're renting out. Okay, so, but a lot of people, as you see on here, rent out campers, they rent out tents, and things like that. Okay. Because we have a lot of open land, I want to get some tents, and because a lot of people do camp, okay, even when it's cold, they camp. And I want to put some tents up on the land and rent them out. Not where we're going to be at, but on the other acres that I have that are apart. So they won't ever see, you know, the acreage that and what we're building at, but they will have access to this acreage.
Okay.
This is actually the acreage that I gave to my wife and kids for them. And if they should ever decide to use it, you know, once we get accomplished what we need to accomplish, and if they want to keep renting it, I let them keep renting it. But the whole goal is to generate a income stream off the land, and at least enough to pay for the land.
Right.
You know, every month. So I went through the way that you use this is, you know, you look at, like, this is a campsite in Page, Arizona. And they're charging $122 a night. And when you go into the details of it, see what they're offering. So the matter is,
they ain't offering none but that space.
They're offering that space. They're offering a bed inside of there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so they're showing 17 amenities, okay? So we look at the amenities. They're offering a desert view, a lake view, a mountain view, a resort view, a river view, a valley view. That's their standard views that you have on that property, okay?
Right.
And then they put shampoo and hot water. Okay, so we would have to see how to make that happen, but we don't have to provide that. Everybody understand?
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to, you know, it's camping, and really you could tell them to bring along all their own food, their own water, even their own bedding, because they're camping.
Right.
Okay. They have a smoke alarm and a carbon monoxide alarm and a fire extinguisher, and they have a backyard for each one. Free parking on premises. Now, we're not going to be there to do breakfast, so they're not going to get a breakfast or anything like that. Hostelry to long-term stay allowed. So they're allowing people to stay up to 28 days or more if they want to. Okay. And then they're saying that what they don't have security cameras on the property. They don't have a kitchen. They don't have Wi-Fi. They don't have TV, no washer, no air conditioner, no hair dryer, no private entrance. And no heating. So this one with, you know, no heating, I wouldn't want to stay there in the winter.
Right.
But, you know, as far as camping, they're really selling what views they have.
Uh-huh.
That's really what they're using to attract people.
Yeah.
And, you know, the complimentary shampoo and hot water, that's what they're providing. Okay. So I went through and I was looking at, you know, a few of the, just to see, you know, what they're offering. And I looked at their reviews, not so much to look at their reviews, but to see how many people they were getting a month. Okay. And it seems like they're getting 5-6 people a month. Okay. And 5 or 6 renters a month. Okay. But they could be getting more and those people just not submitting reviews. So this is, you know, it's kind of a short way to tell, you know, what they're getting. I don't know if the site is limiting it to 5 reviews a month. I don't know. But I know that they're at least getting 5, you know, people to stay in those places a month. Okay. Then in this one, I want to be signing in. I don't want to sign there. Let's see. So here's another campsite. And basically, if you look at the photos of what they are offering, now that's the way the night sky should look. See all those stars?
Mm-hmm.
And the Milky Way going through there?
Mm-hmm.
That's the way it should look. You know, a lot of people will rent just for that view.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're a lot of people have never seen the Milky Way. You live mm-hmm. in the city, you ain't gonna never see it. Okay, so this is the type of tents that they're using, and then if you look at this one, it looks like it's cloudy there,
mm-hmm.
but that's not clouds. That's the Milky Way.
Mm.
That's out in outer space. Okay. Because if you see stars and stuff down in here going up through the clouds. Okay. But it can be looks like stuff here. But on a really dark night, this really shows up real well.
Oh, okay.
Okay. And so on this one, they are not, you know, they're offering a bed and, you know, things in the surrounding area. And I think they got a porta potty on site. I don't like porta potties, but, you know, until we can do better, I'd be willing to get one. Because campers are used to that kind of stuff if they're really camping. Okay, so as long as it's kept clean, you know, people will use it, and they'll give you a positive review. Okay. So this one has a bed and some chairs and things in it. And they have a couple of tents, like two or three tents on site. And let's see what this one was going for a month. This one, they were only charging $64 a night. The other one was like $123 a night.
You had the shower?
Probably the hot water.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I don't think there was a shower. I don't think they mentioned a shower. I could be wrong. Let's see what you'll get. So they have 10 amenities. And what they're saying they're offering is essentials, you know, your towels, your bed sheets, your soap, and your toilet paper, bed lining. So if they're offering bed linings, that means that you need to bring your own what? Linen? No, bed linens.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I would still bring my own linen, no matter what.
Right.
Okay. Fire extinguisher, dining table, private entrance, separate street or building entrance, a hammock, outdoor dining, free parking on premises, pets allowed, long-term stays allowed. They don't have no security cameras, no kitchen, no Wi-Fi, no TV, no washer. No hair dryer, no smoke alarm, carbon monoxide, no shampoo, and no heating. So mm-hmm. you're roughing it. You got some place
right.
to go, so you need to bring your own what?
All right.
Okay. Let's see. I looked at something else. This is a different one. This is 120. They were going for 135 tonight, 122 a night. You got two beds in there. They got 13 amenities. So they got shampoo. They got an outdoor shower. They got hot water. They got the essentials.
They got a bathroom.
Yeah, smoke alarm. They got carbon monoxide. They got these things with it. I think we did read this before. So let me close that one because I don't want to come back to it. Okay. Now I wanted to, let me do this. Get to the site that I found these on. Okay, here's one set that I found right here. All right, these are, we'll look at this. These have like, these are actually made to live in, you can live in them permanently.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so they have this outside shell. It's, you know, made of this kind or triangular shaped frame, and it's permanent like, and you can have a stove in there, like a wood stove or what have you. But these are designed to be more permanent. Okay, and you can get a insulating lining that's going to have AC in it. It can have heat. These I found, but these are kind of what I'm going to call kind of expensive. But to see what we're looking at. So this one is what, $7,000?
Yeah.
And it's 20 feet around. On. Go back.
I'll be right back. I have to use the bathroom.
Okay. Well, we wouldn't be putting in no hot tub anytime soon. Well, it's a small one. Look like they do financing as well. I wouldn't want to get anything that we had a real long-term debt on. It would sort of defeat the purpose.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but I found some other ones that were cheaper. Let me see if I can find them.
I'm back.
Welcome back.
Thank you.
You're welcome. I think these are them right here. All right. Why you? Okay.
There you go.
Now these are cheaper. You see how these are completely transparent?
Yeah.
Okay. And the only problem with these that I found is they have to be, this blower has to stay connected and on, which means that you got to have power to the property.
Mm-hmm.
Or some type of power. That's the only thing that I found that was a...
Just to keep it up, to keep it
from
falling, collapse.
Right. And so these are only like $700. This one is $921. But you can, they got it furnished like this, but we could actually, this would be what, a bed on the floor?
Put my apple back in there.
So this is like a bed on the floor and some chairs?
Uh-huh.
Okay. Now, what I thought of was that, because these are five times cheaper.
You're going to stop coming in here and getting my water, too.
Because these are five times cheaper
than
for the price of one of the others, we could do five of these. And we would just be, you know, buying the bedding and what have you. And then the goal would be to put up a fire pit. So give them access to a fire pit, which is real easy to build. We, you know, uh-huh. we would buy one, we would build one. Probably cost about $200 to build a fire pit. You know, a couple of picnic tables or a couple of tables outside. And a grill. So even building a grill. And that would be what they were, would be getting until we could either do better or, you know, we're making enough off of it. Because people will stay in these too. And the attraction for these is, well, number one, you don't really have any privacy, right?
Right.
So
don't you have to keep the thing running?
Yeah, you have to keep it running. And, you know, we can address that. You know, there's very it's very easy to put solar panels in and provide, you know, that level of electricity. But, yeah, these have to stay, they have to have a motor that stays running. But Denise, you're not beating nobody, are you? Okay. So, yeah, they have this furnished with a bed and a little night table. And then here is like a little fan over here on the right.
Uh-huh.
That could be also a heater, not sure. But then, like I said, this blower down here that keeps it all up, you know, you have to have power for that. So let's do this.
No, I ain't beating nobody up for the mile.
All right, I'm just checking.
Now's my son. He coming in and take all something. Like I told him, he's coming in and taking my stuff, and he ain't brought nothing in. But you gonna take some out.
Oh, amen. Don't feel bad. My kids feel like they live here. They don't pay no rent or anything. They feel like their labor. They should be charging for their labor, whatever they do. I'm like, okay, let me give you a bill for rent and electricity and all this other stuff.
Right.
We're going to change modes for just a minute. We'll come back to this because I'm going to need to draw something out that I haven't drawn out. Right, are you able to see that on your screen?
Yeah.
Okay. So this is the atmospheric water generator system that I have been designing. How we would get water and how we would, we got to be able to show, since there's nobody really doing this, we apply for a grant, you know, how we plan to do it and how we, you know, they won't do anything with the stuff going to the field or to, you know, to the hydroelectric generator that we're going to put in, but they will help us up to the house. Does that make sense?
Right.
Okay. So, we will be pulling water out of the atmosphere. The one that I'm looking at getting would generate 550 gallons per day. And at that, the lowest humidity of 20%, which is the average humidity up there where we're at, is 20% up there. So on those days, when it's more humidity, it'll produce more than 550 gallons. Relative humidity, it'll produce 550 gallons of water every day. We will take that water and pump it into one of these 2,000-gallon water bladders until it's full. And then we would pump it into a second one until it's full, into a third one. Does that make sense so far?
So far.
Okay. And then coming out of one of these, one would be going to the housing area, the other one would be going to the field, and one would be going to the hydro electric generators. So we're going to put that in. Okay. Now, when I go to this design, this is the, told you the system I was designing was a closed electric generator, hydroelectric generator system.
Uh-huh.
And this is based upon how they actually use hydroelectric generators when they have a lake. So, you know, they put the dam in front of the lake, then they dam up the water, and then they run the water out of the lake. And what, and it turned a turbine? Okay.
Hmm.
So rather than having a lake to do that, my proposal is that we use, so this coming in right here, we use a 2,000-gallon water bladder. And we fill the pipes up, you know, so that they're full. And then on the other end, we put another 2,000-gallon water bladder. In between there, we're going to put an electric pump that's going to pump this water to the hydroelectric generator. It's going to be up under what pressure? Because what we, with this, let me see if I can find it, so it'll make it clearer for you guys, and you can see what I'm actually doing and why I'm doing it this way. Give me a hot second. So I'm going to move this over here. This is normally how most electricity, even where you're at, is generated, okay?
Mm-hmm.
You got a dam somewhere, and you got, you know, there's a lake behind it. They've dammed up the water, and then they run the water down one of these tubes, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And as the water comes down this tube, it runs across this generator, the blades on this generator, or what they call the turbine. And as it turns, it generates electricity. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so this is how it normally works. I'm going to play this.
Hydropower. Hydropower, or hydroelectricity, refers to the conversion of energy from flowing water into electricity. It is considered a renewable energy source because the water cycle is constantly renewed by the sun. One of the first uses of hydro energy was for mechanical milling, such as grinding grain. But today, modern hydro plants produce electricity using turbines and generators. The mechanical energy created by moving water spins rotors on a turbine. This turbine is connected to an electromagnetic generator, which produces electricity when the turbine spins. There are two main types of hydroelectricity production, dams and run-of-rivers. Hydro dams utilize the potential energy from dammed water to produce electricity. A dam is a large barrier constructed to raise the level of water and control its flow. The elevation created by the dam creates gravitational force for turning the turbine when water is released. Some dams also contain an additional reservoir at their base where water is stored to be pumped to the higher reservoir for release when electricity is in demand. This is referred to as pumped storage hydro. The second form of hydroelectricity production is run-of-river hydro. Run-of-river still uses turbines and generators, but relies on natural water flow rates of rivers, diverting just a portion of the water through turbines. Because run-of-river hydro is subject to natural water variability, it is more intermittent than dammed hydro. There are various sizes of hydro plants that produce electricity. Large hydro, greater than 30 megawatts, small hydro, 100 kilowatts to 30 megawatts, and micro hydro, less than 100 kilowatts. The Hoover Dam in the United States is a whopping 2,074 megawatts, which is enough to serve 1.3 million people. Of all renewable energy sources, hydropower holds the largest share of worldwide electricity production. Hydropower has several benefits. It is a cost-competitive form of electricity, even though the initial building cost can be high. It is quite reliable compared to other renewable options and pairs well with other sources as it can be used as baseload power. In some cases, dammed reservoirs can also help with flood control and be a reliable water supply for communities. There are also some concerns with hydropower, especially when it comes to large dams. Damming a river has a major impact on the local environment, changing wildlife habitats, blocking fish passage, and often forcing people in riverside communities to move out of their homes. In addition, dam failures can be catastrophic, claiming the lives of those living downstream. Hydro plants are also not completely free of greenhouse gas emissions. As with most forms of energy, carbon dioxide emissions happen during construction, particularly due to the large quantities of cement used, and plant matter in the flooded areas makes methane, another greenhouse gas, as it decays underwater. That's hydropower.
So what I'm proposing and why I designed this system this way, this would act like our dam right here, okay?
Mm-hmm.
This 2,000 gallons of water. We're going to pump it down this pipe. pipe, and but we're not gonna just let it run down the pipe. We're gonna actually put a pump in there to put pressure behind it. Okay, that pressurized water would go into the hydroelectric generator, into the what do they call those? It's not the generator itself, but it's where the blades are located. I can't remember what they call that exactly. Okay, the blades would spin with the water going through. And in this case, we'll be generating 150,000 kilowatts of power. Okay? That would go off to a battery bank. Okay? And I really need to actually move this. And this. So out of here, out of the hydrogen generator, then we would, that would be going to a battery bank. Because the problem with trying to connect this directly to something is it's raw electricity,
uh-huh.
and it would actually break stuff. So it'll run for a minute, and then it'll burn it up. Okay? And so what you do is you send it to a battery bank, and then from the battery bank, you convert it back into AC or DC, whatever you want. So if coming out of the battery bank, you need DC power, then you can just go straight from the battery to whatever you're using. Let's say that it was a motor that was a DC motor, and it ran off of DC power. Then you can just run straight from the battery to that motor. But if it was AC, then we'd have to put a converter on it, and or what they call an inverter, and it would change the DC power to AC.
Hmm.
And then, but it'll do it in a smooth way where the appliances won't burn up.
Mm-hmm.
So, just for your education, just so you have an idea of what I'm talking about, we won't look at this. I'm trying to find one that is... yeah, this should be simple enough. I can explain it.
I need to find the best way to learn math and science. It's brilliant.
Whoa.
Hey there, guys. Paul here from the EngineeringMindset.com.
Okay, now I'm not expecting you guys to remember this, okay?
Hmm.
I'm just showing you how DC works and AC works, so you have a, sort of an understanding, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So you got batteries. Everybody's got something that to use a battery on, right?
Right. Yeah.
That battery is DC power, direct current, okay?
Oh, okay.
And if that kind of power flows in a circle, so it really flows from the negative to the positive. So even on your battery, you will see a positive and a negative, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The way it actually flows, even though they say it backwards, it's actually flowing from the negative terminal back to the positive terminal. Okay? But they'll say the way they write everything is from positive to negative. But the true flow is negative to positive. So, and that's in a circuit, all right? So if the circuit gets broken, then you have no what? Power?
Yeah.
Because it loses the path. Simple enough?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So now let's look at AC. AC works a little bit different. Find one that's simple enough. There, don't get offended because this is what I usually look at. explaining to me like I don't know nothing.
We've now seen and heard a lot about the flow of current in a circuit. But in everything we've seen, the current has always been flowing around in one direction. Such a current is called direct current, DC.
So this is another explanation of DC.
In real life, the direct current causes a steady reading to one side of zero on the measuring instrument. But
so those black lines that you see, they represent a circuit, okay? And you see how they got it coming from the negative, going, you know, flowing. You got the arrow going down the wire that way on the right.
Mm-hmm.
And it ends up back at the positive.
Mm-hmm.
That's how direct current works. Okay. So this is what most of your home appliances know, like anything that uses batteries in. And I'll leave it simple that way, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Anything that you use batteries in is going to flow this way. When it breaks somewhere in this circuit, this line, and it could be, you know, branching off and stuff like that for more complicated devices, but if a break happens anywhere in this line,
mm-hmm.
the electricity can't flow from what? Negative to positive.
Right.
So it stops working. Or the battery runs down and it can't push enough electricity from negative to positive.
Right. Okay.
Now let's see how you...
The current also exists in a different form in which the direction of the current goes first one way and then the other, and of course is called alternating current, AC.
Okay. So with alternating current, remember I told you that in the direct current it goes in one direction all the time?
Mm-hmm.
With alternating current, it'll start off going negative to positive. And then the next time, it'll go positive to negative. Then back to negative to positive. That's alternating.
Okay.
Make sense to you guys?
Yeah.
So far.
Okay. So depending upon what device we're using, most of the devices that you plug into the wall
mm-hmm.
are using alternating current. So if you plug it in, it's not using DC. If it is using DC, then it's got something inside of it that's converting the alternating current to what, DC?
DC, right.
So there's something inside of it that converts it. Before the device gets it, it'll convert it from AC to DC. But most of your devices, your refrigerators, your anything you plug into the wall is going to use alternating current.
Gotcha.
That's why it's important that we know what type of devices we're trying to hook up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and if we're trying to hook up a heater is... You're just going to always use alternating current, a refrigerator,
right.
an AC unit, mm-hmm. a stereo.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
if we're storing everything in batteries, batteries are direct current. That's how they work. Okay, and everything on your car except your alternator is direct current.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, but everything else is the alternator creates electricity to charge your battery on your car. Okay, but what we're looking at here is just for not in, at an engineering level, just, you know, as an overall view, you know that alternating current starts going one way and then it goes the other. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does.
Okay. And it'll do that. It'll alternate like that in America 60 times a second. It'll alternate. So in 1 second, it will alternate from positive to negative, negative to positive, 60 times in 1 second. Okay, that's where you get that. If you look on any appliance, it'll say like 60 megahertz or something like that. That means that it's rated to do that 60 times a second.
Oh, okay.
Okay. And that's most of the stuff in America. And overseas, it only does it 50 times a second. But it's still alternating, just doing it going a little bit slower.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So these are the things that when I'm doing design work for these different systems, then we're going to be coming from a battery. But you know, I can't send the electric power directly from this generator to these pumps. These pumps, well, the generator is going to be producing, it produces AC power, but it's raggedy AC. It may not be 60 times a second.
Oh, okay.
It might be 30, or it might be 120. That would tear up something. Does that make sense?
Because
all your devices are made to sip power from the line 60 times a second. If it starts coming faster, then they don't know what to do with it. Or if it comes slower, then what will happen is if it comes slower, if you got a clock, the clock will run slower. So you'd be wondering, why is my clock always behind? The hertz coming through might be at 50 hertz, and it should be at, what, 60? Okay. So what we're doing is we're going to use this bladder at the bottom here like a dam. And the water coming out of it will pump down line to this hydroelectric generator. The blade, it'll hit the blade. The blades will turn, causing the generator to turn. And then that will produce electricity. Now, the water will then get pumped into this 2,000-gallon water reservoir on the other end. So we're not going to, what, lose the water?
Mm.
We're going to be reusing the same water. Does that make sense?
Well, where water is coming from the beginning?
From
right
the,
here?
From the atmospheric water generator. It'll fill this bladder up.
So oh. Where,
so when
from
we,
the air?
Yep.
Reset.
So let me go back to this slide. See, we got this AWG 430 right here. And it's producing 550 gallons per day. That's coming out of the air.
Oh, okay.
And as it produces it, then we pump it into these containers, these water bladders.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and then we fill up one. So at 550 gallons a day, it'll take about 4 days to fill up this one. And then another 4 days to fill up the second one, another 4 days to fill up the third one. Once they're full, then we're going to really have, what, an excess? And anything that's excess, you know, I showed you guys on the film, we have a water retention area on the land that we would just let that water flow into.
Right.
Okay, anything we don't need will go to the overflow pond. And we'll expand the overflow pond so that we can make it wider and deeper. And store more water because we can actually pump that water out of there to crops and do whatever we want to with it, okay?
Okay.
So one of these water bladders right here represents this water bladder right here.
Okay.
Okay. We're going to first fill this up and then we'll fill, you know, I actually want this to be up under pressure, so we will fill this bladder up, and then we'll also fill the bladder up down here. And then we'll fill the pipe all the way back to this bladder so that there's no air or, you know, any space.
Mm-hmm.
So when the pumps are pumping, then the water is always under pressure. Okay. That pressure, whatever we determine that to be, whether it's 85 pounds per square inch, whatever that's going to be is what will be used to spin, what do they call that in that video? Now I want to know that. But they'll spin the blades on the generator, okay?
Mm-hmm.
The water will leave out of the generator and then be pumped back into this 2,000-gallon tank. Because the water from this 2,000-gallon tank is going to be being pumped back up to this 2,000-gallon tank at the bottom.
Right.
Okay.
So it's just actually just circling and doing recycling.
Right, just recycling. So we put another hydroelectric generator here right before this water tank. And so we'll be producing a total of 300,000 kilowatts. That's enough power of electricity. That's enough because what I was doing I don't know if I showed you guys this last week or not. I don't think I did, but I'll show it to you now. Because I'm actually doing a lot of planning right now and trying to come up with the, you know, the design so that when we submit, we can have this stuff ready. When we're asking for grants, they want to know, you know, how are you doing things? You want our money? How are you going to be successful? Okay, so this is a calculator. I went out and found it, and then I created it, you know, one for myself. And if, you know, you put a device in here, and then you put how many watts that device, you know, consumes. And then the utility rate in Arizona, and we, you know, we won't be charging ourselves, but I want to know how much, if we were paying for it ourselves, how much we would actually be spending. Does that make sense?
For the water or some electricity?
For electricity.
Okay.
Because when you use something, it uses what, electricity?
Mm-hmm.
And this tells you how much, if you got a stereo, just you running your stereo will use 8 watts of power. Okay, if you're running an aquarium, it'll use about 24 watts. Your cable box uses about 140 watts. Your clothes dryer, when you have it on, will use 2,790 watts. So it tells you by appliance, you know, what they say on it, you know, and we would have to change.
Do it say how long you run it for it to run there? How is it solid?
No, that starts at that.
Oh, okay.
Okay, it starts at that. If you run it for, right here I have hours /
mm-hmm.
days. So if you run it for 2 days, then, or 2 hours, 365 days a year, then this is how many kilowatts you would be using, 5.58. Your yearly energy consumption would be 2,336 kilowatts. Okay, but it starts off as this watt, and then you change that into, you multiply it by 1,000 to get kilowatts.
Kilowatts, okay.
Okay, 1,000. And so if you were only running your dryer 2 hours every day, then it'll cost you about $264 a year to run it. Now, we usually only run our dryer, what, during the weekends or something?
Right. Mm-hmm.
You know, we do our clothes.
Well, other weekends.
Yeah. How, you know, everybody does differently. I come down here, mm-hmm. it's like hours running every day. Somebody trying to wash every day and dry clothes every day because they're not paying for it.
Right.
Okay. But so that we could plan, and I came up with a calculator, when we decide, you know, what equipment we're going to get, then we'll be looking at what's wattage.
Mm-hmm.
And we would want to get stuff that's what, energy savers, so that
mm-hmm.
it doesn't use, you know, as much wattage.
Right.
Okay. So at the bottom, you know, then down here at the bottom, then I can tell total how many watts of power we're going to use on average. If I put a microwave in, let me filter this display. I got a column over here that says use, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And these are the items that I'm saying, okay, if we put these items in everybody's, you know, degree. If we put these items in everybody's space.
Unit.
Yeah, they're in their
right.
unit. So if I, you know, we allow a stereo or a cable box, CD player, a ceiling fan, a clothes dryer, a clothes washer. Everything that you go one by, I'm saying if we allow this, then this is the amount of power right here that we would be using.
Oh, okay.
Okay. And
that's for like how long? For like a year?
Yeah, this would be a year.
Okay.
Okay. Now, we know everybody's not going to run that way. They're not going to run everything 24 hours a day. They're not going to run everything 365 days a year.
Right.
But this is what, you know, some people will do stuff like that, okay? And so what I have to do is plan for the worst case.
Mm-hmm.
And then hope that people don't do that.
All right.
But we got to be able to handle the worst case.
Right.
Make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So the worst case would be 19,037 watts. If we allowed all this stuff. Some of this stuff, you know, like a well pump, everybody's not going to have their own well pump. But the well pump, if we have a well, it would be used by everybody.
Right.
And it would run 24 hours a day, 365.
Right.
You know, so this is saying that for the year, per unit, if we allowed everybody to do that, or if everybody did the worst case and had everything, then their electric bill would be something like $8,500 a month, I mean a year.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now, I don't know what your electric bill runs, but mine, if I wasn't on this program, especially in the summer, my electric bill can be over $1,100 a month.
Mm-hmm.
Just the electric.
And mine is the heat in the winter.
Winter?
Yeah, in the winter, that heat.
So, yeah, that now in the wintertime, everything goes down for me. You know, the heat might
right.
cost us $200 a month.
Right.
Even in the worst month, it's that much. But this is for planning purposes. So I say worst case scenario, 19,307 watts. If we were paying, you know, off the grid, this is what it would cost. And we'll put some type of little meter in everybody's, you know, in their space so they can see what they're using. And so that they can learn to what? Turn off things?
I already know how to turn off things.
Well, you be, I'm telling you, you'll be some people. Okay,
I know. I believe. I know.
Yeah. So, that's what, so this figure is what I'm planning on trying to produce this amount of electricity per unit, okay?
Mm-hmm. Per unit?
Per unit.
Mm.
You may only use 1,000.
I guess.
Okay, but I'm going to plan on producing at least that amount.
Right, okay.
Anything else would be what? Reserve?
Right.
It'll be, you know, we just wouldn't have used it, so it's available to use somewhere else, or it's available for later use.
Right, yeah, okay.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So this is just for our planning. When we start shopping out, you know, different equipment to go into the unit, then we will be, what, electricity conscious?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll look at and see, you know, what is, how much wattage does this particular unit use? Is there a better one?
Right.
They use less electricity. We might have to pay more for it to begin with, but in the end, it'll save us money.
Yes, right. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that's what that's designed for. So, you know, as we start to ramp up and to, you know, plan, then we will go out and we will do the shopping, and we'll look for those things. And we have to decide what we're going to allow everybody to have. So that's if we allow everything.
Right.
We can say, hey, in all units, we're not going to allow you to have a stove. We're not going to allow you to have a refrigerator. But we could allow those things, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, from the beginning, we've already said that, what, the kitchen and stuff would be community?
Right.
And so we can say, well, no, we're not providing a refrigerator. But we might provide them a microwave. Or a small refrigerator.
Right.
Okay, but not a full-size refrigerator and not a stove.
Right.
Okay. Make sense?
Yeah.
Okay, so I haven't drawn out the battery bank yet, but just trust that everything's going to flow to a battery bank. All the electricity will be stored there. And then everybody would be hooked in, all the houses or units would be hooked into the battery bank. And we would probably...
Hello?
Uh-huh. You there?
Hello?
I can hear
hello?
You. I can hear you.
Yes. Oh, okay. I was going to ask, and how did that battery bank go? Where is it going to get its current from? The sun?
No, it's getting its current from this hydroelectric generator. They're charging the battery.
Oh, okay.
And we still will have some solar.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to have solar as well. But the vast majority of our power, from what I can see, that would be most cost effective will be from this hydroelectric generator.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But we'll still put up solar.
Yeah.
Okay. So the battery would store the power, okay? And then that, you know, all of the housing units would be connected to that battery, you know, those battery banks.
Right.
And the battery bank would, coming out of the battery bank, I'm thinking everything is going to be AC, not DC. Because, you know, most of those items that we looked at, none of them actually run off a battery.
Right.
Your TV don't run off of batteries. Your cereal don't. You know, so we would have to create, coming out of the batteries is DC power, okay? That's the way it works.
Mm-hmm.
We would run that into an inverter that would convert it to AC power.
AC.
And that's what would get pumped into the house.
Yes.
Okay, so when somebody turns on something, it would just, the electricity would be there already, but it's taking it from where, the batteries?
Mm-hmm.
And so the batteries are going to be, constantly need to be what, recharged?
Recharged, right.
Okay, and so that's what the hydroelectric unit is for, and that's what the solar is for, to make sure that those batteries are always charged.
Okay.
Make sense?
Okay.
And then I started looking at, because this is what the grant, whoever we apply for a grant with, what the woman said was that since this is not, you know, something that is normally done, usually they, you know, give grants for people to dig wells. But, you know, I said, hey, if we're going to do an atmospheric water generator, then I have to show how that technology is going to connect to the house. That makes sense?
Right. Mm-hmm.
So this is just a watered down, I haven't done all the plumbing yet, but this is a watered down, so coming from one of the 2,000-gallon bladders, and it comes to a main water supply to all, that all the houses are hooked to, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And it's being pumped there, so it's under pressure. So these are water. These are electric pumps right here. These, that's what they represent. Those little blue boxes at the top of the 2,000-gallon tank.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So they will pump the water into this pipe. Then from that pipe, then water goes into the premise, into the unit. And so we have a cold water pipe that's in blue, and part of that cold water is sent to the what, water heater.
Mm-hmm.
And it comes out what, hot?
Yeah.
And then all the pipes in the house are you know, connected to these two main lines. That makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
So to, if we have, let's say that we allow people to have a kitchen sink, then we want hot and cold water running there. Mm-hmm. If they have a bathroom inside of their unit, we're going to need hot and cold water there.
Right.
Okay, so then, you know, I will draw that out so that I was, starting to draw this stuff out, you know, lay it out. I got it on paper, but not as easy to draw in PowerPoint. But this would represent, you know, a container, this square box, a rectangular box. And then this oval would be a tub, and we would need hot and cold water going there.
Right.
And then I would probably put the toilet on the wall on this side, so. And I still have to draw these. So let's say this was a toilet. Let's move it off of it just a little bit. Okay. So you have a toilet right there. And then we would allow for a sink. Whether it's a double sink or a single sink. You know, I haven't drawn anything as a suggestion. but let's just throw this in there for right now. So let's say we have a vanity with a mirror coming out like this. And let me change that color to white. Well, I'm changing anything. We'll change it to that. And let's say that we put a single sink in it. And then, of course, there would be a wall here. Put a wall in here. My line, or the color. Okay, and then this would be, what, a door? Here. So we could actually, give more room for this right here. And then this would be a door right here. And the finish of the wall down here. So and we'll just draw a line . Okay, so everybody see how that kind of works?
I don't see nothing.
You don't see nothing?
I still see the generator.
Right.
You still see the generator?
Yep.
Up here, or this one? You seeing the one with the hydroelectric generator?
Yep.
When I do the housing, do you see that now?
Nope.
Why did it, when I changed screens, why did it do that? Let me take it off of there. Do you see student energy now?
No.
Okay, so let me stop sharing and start sharing again. Evidently, that doesn't make sense what it's doing, but hold on a second. Let me get back to
now. That, say, for in Christ Jesus neither crucify anything nor uncircumcised, but a new creature.
Okay, let me drag the PowerPoint up there. Do you see the PowerPoint now?
Yep.
Do you see?
It says 20 gallons in the...
Now, do you see a blue square?
Yeah.
Okay. So this is just a throw-out their bathroom layout.
Okay.
So you got the tub, you got the toilet, and you got the vanity with the, you know, with a mirror and what have you. And then I put a wall in there and a door.
Okay.
And so let's say that let me insert another wall. I actually didn't copy this. Then we would have to decide how big we're going to make the what, bedroom.
Mm-hmm.
But we'd want the toilet to be what, where the bedroom's at. I don't want to put it out here.
Right.
So let's just say this would be the master bedroom.
Mm-hmm.
We just have to decide how big we want to make it.
Right.
Okay, and then if I put another here, just this for, you know, gee whiz sake. Say we put another wall up in here. And let's say this was the kitchen area. Or we could actually make this, what, the living room area? Whatever we wanted to. Okay. But the size of this is, let me get a text. What we have to work with. So from top to bottom, in this picture, looking at it flatly, that's 8 feet. And then lengthwise, it's 40 feet. Make sense to you?
Mm-hmm.
So every
8 feet.
Yeah, it's only 8 feet wide. That's how wide those containers are.
Hmm.
So let's say that this was the kitchen right here, the second square. And this wall is coming from the bedroom. Then this over here would be like a hallway. So if I did this, let me copy this. Anybody know how wide a hallway has to be?
It's 12?
12 inches, 12 feet.
Oh.
3 feet.
3 feet wide by code. Okay. So we would have to leave at least 3 feet from the wall to wall out here. So this could actually be, let's say we did this like, well, actually we would want to make this, because of the way I did this, there would not be a wall there. Let me put this here out of the way. We could extend this wall down to... Stay there. And let's just say, let's say right there represents 3 feet in that difference. Then we could do the same thing we did here for the master bedroom, if that's going to be the master bedroom. Just saying, you know, this is just what if. Big group, I need to lock this. So let's say we did the same thing right here. We'll paste it. All right, so we have the bathroom with a door. We got the master bedroom with a door, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I can make these a little bit heavier. So you can see them more readily. Width. Okay. So those represent doors into those spaces. Okay. And we wouldn't put a wall up right here so it looks more open. So we wouldn't put a wall right there. Because that actually makes the space look closed off.
Yeah.
And so we would leave that out and just put a door there. When you open up into your, what, master bedroom or into your bedroom?
Okay.
And then...
So is this going to be like for every unit?
We will decide that. But, yeah, it will be like that for every unit, whatever we decide it's going to be. Everybody don't get to design their own unit unless they're going to do the work themselves. Amen?
Amen.
Okay. So then let's say that this is the kitchen area. And just for GP, let's allow them to have everything in it. Okay, just for GP right now. So I'm going to say, I'm going to insert a symbol. I want a square. Moved. I'm just going to put this in here for right now. Okay. Yes. And then back to. All right, let me do something here. And every time I touch this, things going to move. I'm going to lock this, but it don't move. Okay, now I can do this. Nothing else moves. Okay, let's say that this is on this wall. Make that a small freezer for right now. And then next to that. And I'm not saying this is how things are going to be. I'm just saying this is, you know, me playing around. So this would be counter space. So I'm going to do this. And I'm just going to use initials for right now. And let's put in a... And all of this. Still got a lot of open space here.
Mm-hmm.
And we could do, we could actually play around with this. But just let me put in a okay. All right, but we get the idea, right? So this will be a table.
Right.
All right. So we can play around with this, but we've allowed for a for counter space. We've allowed for a stove, a sink, more counter space, what, a refrigerator?
Mm-hmm.
And then what, a chair, I mean a table. And I would say that this right here, let me change the format of this to... All right, so these dashed lines, I'm going to say represent a half wall.
Mm-hmm.
So that, you know, the kitchen is not what all closed off.
Right.
You have a half wall there that opens up to say that, just for gee whiz, that this is all living room. So we would put the door in here somewhere. So let's say we put the door right here. Okay, without drawing a whole lot of furniture and stuff. Can we, what, add our windows and things like that?
Mm-hmm.
But everybody get the gist of what I'm doing? Any questions? Because we're going to, you know, we're going to have to decide, as I said, what we're going to allow in each unit. So in here, they could have a, what, a TV. They could have a sofa, a love chair, whatever. It should be enough room for it to fit.
Right.
But because we didn't block off everything, then everything doesn't look all closed mm-hmm. off. The only thing that's blocked off is what, your bedroom?
Right.
Everything else would be open, you know, an open type design.
Mm-hmm.
Any questions or comments?
I don't have any.
Any suggestions?
So how big is the unit going to be?
40 feet by 8 feet.
Right. 40 feet by 8 feet.
Okay.
You know how those tiny houses you were talking about?
Right.
This is just a little bit bigger than those.
Okay.
But it is bigger. And, you know, we can put in, depending upon what in, you can put in what, sliding glass doors on an end or in the middle. We can put in windows either on the front or the back. You know, window
right.
In the bedroom. Put in a small, you know, not see-through window in the bathroom.
Oh well.
With that frosted glass or whatever, privacy glass, so people can't really see in. But this
right.
is just, you know, that's what we have to work with. That's what we have to make everything fit into. 40 feet long by 8 feet wide.
8 feet wide, okay.
So long and what, narrow. But we can make it look like you have all of that 8 feet at least.
Right.
Any other questions, Mr. Mary?
No.
You need a bigger space?
No.
You sure? Your voice is
I don't
like,
know. I haven't think about it. No, I'm serious. No.
All right. We can throw two of them together for you. Yeah, this is the normal unit. This would be similar to what a normal unit would look like. We got, you know, what we allow in here and what we do. We've got to make sure that it will fit into what space.
That's right.
That's why this type of planning is necessary. And then, you know, if we get a stove, that's bigger than what we have planned for, then we got to change the size of something else, maybe counter space.
All right.
Okay. But I would think that we would put a window, you know, over the sink, as usually traditional in a kitchen. So you can look out,
right.
A bigger window in the living room, some glass, you know, we could put some glass doors. But whatever we put in, we got to make sure that we're able to, what, close it up and protect it?
Right.
And cover it so that if we ever come up under attack, that, you know, steel shutters will, what, cover it?
Mm-hmm.
So, any suggestions? Like I said, this is just me throwing out stuff.
Looks good to me.
Y'all being too easy.
Well,
yeah, I want something. We get there and you'll be talking about like, Brother Miles, you said. And then I'm just going to look at you.
Well, you didn't say nothing. So.
Right. Now, again, depending upon what we decide to do, we can actually make units larger or smaller. So we could actually take two shipping containers and what, join them together? Front and back, and then it would be 16 feet wide, and then we could open up some things. But right now, it's, the plan is one shipping container per person.
Okay.
If somebody comes with a family, then we got to, you know, I would draw out a family unit.
Right.
With bedrooms, you know, in different locations. But the truth of the matter is, this is not to scale. It's just to, you know, on paper, I'm sort of using, you know, that drafting paper with the lines and whatever, so you can say this. And then drawing it out. So this is just, you know, this effort right here is just estimates. I think that if I did this, I would give just as much space to the bedroom as I would the living room. That would just be me.
To the bedroom, to the living, for the living room?
I would give whatever. We got a bedroom right here.
Mm-hmm.
So let me mark that in there. Okay, so this is a bedroom right here.
Mm-hmm. That's the kitchen.
This is the kitchen.
With the table.
Right.
And that's nothing yet.
That's the living room. We just ain't got no furniture or nothing in it.
Oh, okay. That's the living room. Okay.
Place this in here. Now, the living room looks a whole lot bigger than the bedroom, right?
Yes.
And I'm just saying, if it was me, if this was the configuration we were going to go with, then
you would make the bedroom a little bigger.
Right.
Yeah, for your clothes.
Yeah, and you need storage and all that kind of stuff.
Right.
So I would probably, my machine catches up. All right. So then I would say I would give more room to the bedroom.
Mm-hmm.
And a little less to the living room.
Yeah.
And then, you know, you could put up, you know, if we don't build in closet, I can foresee us either doing or not doing as far as design. It just depends on what we decide. But we could actually do what, built-in closet?
Mm-hmm.
Or we could buy, what do they call them, those wardrobes, you know, just the place where you put your clothes and stuff at.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You know, so you put your bedroom, you know, your bed in here, wherever you want to put it, put your dresser, you know, whatever else you decide, we decide is going to come standard. And so somebody walks into the house, what they're going to see first is the what, living room and the kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they'll see. And then your bedroom and your bathroom are really kind of closed off to people. Somebody said they got to use
right.
the bathroom, then they got to go through your what, bedroom?
Bedroom. Mm-hmm.
Okay. But, you know, we can design that. I didn't want to put the bathroom outside the bedroom, but that don't mean we can't do it. That space that we have for the bedroom there, I can take some of that space back and put the bathroom right in the, between the kitchen and the bedroom. Or put it on the other side by the living room. Only problem mm-hmm. is that, you know, there's really no privacy to the bathroom there. Because, you know, we can have it closed off, but if you don't have something that contains odors real good,
mm-hmm.
it can get bad in the kitchen. It can get bad in the what, living room?
Right.
So my place, you know, place that I would rather put the bathroom is in the bedroom. You know, if somebody
right.
comes over, they got to use it. Okay, then you just got to go through the what, bedroom to get to it?
Mm-hmm.
That type of deal. But we're not stuck with this is what I'm saying.
It's just an idea.
Right, just an ideal. So we got, you know, but we are going to have to make a decision because once we start, we either have some type of standardized plan.
Right.
That we're going by. So, you know, whatever we all agree upon.
Right.
I know that 8 feet is not a lot of, it's not a lot of width.
Right.
And so if you close off walls, then you make it look even smaller.
Right.
But if you leave the walls, like we put a half wall in the kitchen, then that space looks kind of wide open.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And so you can see from the living room into the kitchen, it just looks, you know, it just looks wide open. The bedroom is going to be wide open with the exception of, you know, you have the door to the bathroom.
Right.
That way, if you do have company, you don't put a door there. That can get ugly, too.
Yeah.
So, just things to think about, okay? Because we're at this point where we need to start designing this stuff out and making up our minds so that we can have some permanent-type plans that we can, when we submit, this is, you know, this is what we're doing, this is what people are going to get.
Oh, okay.
Amen.
Amen.
Be quiet.
Come on, mate.
No, you all right. I heard you.
Okay.
Sister Mary. I think Sister Lorraine is probably off somewhere.
No, I said amen.
Oh, okay. I didn't hear you.
I'm right here.
If I don't get no feedback, I'd be like, what y'all doing?
Amen.
All right. Amen. All right. If you said that, I didn't hear you, and I apologize.
Okay.
Okay, so those are the things I've been working on. I do want to do a proposal. I want to go and select the circular tent and say, okay, if we offer these things, this is what it would cost us to do this and the type of income that I would be trying to generate from doing such a thing.
All right. Mm-hmm.
Can't think that's what we would I would hope we generate more. But, you know, I'm really looking at as a minimum that we are generating enough to pay for the land. So I can write that, you know, just say that expense I'm not worried about.
Right.
And if it's more, then we just divert that to something else. Any questions?
I don't have any.
I'm going to take silence for being
gone.
All right. Any input?
Well, it's all interesting to me.
And I think the idea of putting, like, the Airbnb, since you have so much land, I think that's a great idea.
Yeah, we need to use some of the land. Like I said, the 40 acres are separated from everything else.
Right.
And it's not going to be interfere with, you know, and people don't have to know what we're doing wherever we're at. So they'll never have to be involved. My whole thing is if I can find somebody to manage. Because until I move up there permanently, I need to find like a property management company or something that will go out and when somebody checks out, you know, replace the tiles and replace the bed linen and that type of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Or whatever that costs. And how much, you know, they will finance this. And I'm thinking that if we can get it financed, there's going to be a certain amount of payment on that a month that will have to come off the top because we have to pay for that first. And anything left over will go back toward the land. Not looking that we would make a profit right away, but we're generating income utilizing the land, and we would be paying off the tent and what have you. And, you know, I never thought about a camping site as far as Airbnb, but there are a lot of people that use camping sites from Airbnb.
Mm.
So, you know, it's viable. It's like if you had an old house and you weren't living in it anymore and you wanted to make money from it, as long as you were willing to go behind the people and, you know, keep it up and stuff, then you could rent it on, what, Airbnb?
Yeah, right.
So the tents that we're getting, are we buying these tents?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, we will eventually own them. That's why it's important which ones we buy.
Uh-huh.
I really would like to get to where, if we're financing and we look at the price, the geodet, these tents right here,
the clear ones that need the thing running all the time?
No, that's not what I would be looking at doing. I mean, that's the cheapest way. But even for ourselves, if we couldn't get shipping containers up there, because I talked to a guy when I was there this last time, and he had two shipping containers. One he bought, you know, off the economy, and then one somebody sold their land, and they had a couple of shipping containers.
Mm-hmm.
He bought one. Okay. It's getting them moved is the problem.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And getting them moved on the land, that can be a problem. But it won't be a problem with these wet tents.
Right.
And so, and just to, you know, start off in, and we could actually bring people to the land faster if we did this. Where is that? If we did one of these, and they're what, almost 7, 8, 9 times more expensive than the tents that we were looking at. But these are, they're more sturdy. They, you can insulate them better than you could the others. They have on top here, like if you look in this area where you see this dark spot up here.
Okay, oh. I don't see the tent.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Right.
My bad. I forgot I changed screen. Can you see them now?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. These are more sturdy. They will hold up to the weather better. They can be insulated so that up under this first layer right here,
mm-hmm.
there's another layer for insulation. So you'd be able to put insulation in between. You can put a dark spot up here.
Mm-hmm.
A solar AC and heating unit that runs off the sun would go up there. You have the ability to put in a wood-burning stove, so that's what the stack is all about, this chimney.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Okay, and you can put in, if we look into this, then you know how they got this laid out is with, you know, with the bed and the little, stand at the end of the bed, some wood for the wood stove, you know, a little mirror, toilet paper, but there's no bathroom in here.
Right.
Okay. And there's no bathroom in most of the tents. I don't know of any, you know, you have to, I think that they have another one that you can add on to this and you can make it a bathroom or a whole other room. But these curtains close all the way across the front so you can close off the unit, you know, if you want privacy. And the roof, part of the roof above the bed is clear. So if you want to lay in the bed and watch the stars,
mm-hmm.
you could. My thing is that we would get maybe three of these. I really would like six, but we would get three to start with. We would space them out. We would put a fire pit in. Like I said, in a grill so people can cook out there. Probably a porta potty. And so we're going to have to make sure that we have somebody that's able to go there and dump it and clean it.
Right.
Type of deal. And whatever we offer, we can say we're going to offer the linens. You know, that you see they got in there, a reclining chair and a bed.
Mm-hmm.
But it's able to handle that. Okay, so I would take like my father-in-law up and we would build the deck and for these to sit on. They wouldn't be on the ground. We'd raise them up maybe 2 feet off the, you know, off the floor.
Uh-huh.
Make sure they're even. Make the deck, put these on there. And then later on, you know, usually this is who's going to rent these out are girlfriend and boyfriend or husband and wife.
Mm-hmm.
And there's one of the pastors who asked me when I was talking to him, he said, well, how are you going to control them doing stuff? I said, it ain't to me to control that. I can't control what they do on, you know, what we're renting out to the public.
Right.
So I said, that's not even one of my concerns. If they come there and they do the wild thing, that ain't on me.
Right.
What they want to do, whether they're married or not, that we can't get into that.
Right.
Now, what we do on the land, the other land, that's a totally different thing.
Right.
But with this, we can't control that. So, I could foresee, because this is usually girlfriend and boyfriend or husband and wife, that we could put a toilet in here in one of these open spaces.
Mm-hmm.
You know, husband and wife, they usually ain't got no problem going to the bathroom in front of each other. And
right.
If they flush, you know, they flush the toilet, then we want to make sure it goes to a septic system.
Mm-hmm.
So that is future, and I think we could add that in, no problem, in a future time. But until that time, then they would, you know, they'd have to use the bathroom outside. The porta potty, and their cooking and stuff would be done outside. I don't think I would ever put that inside.
No, not enough.
Right.
Uh-huh.
So So these are the ones that I'm favoring doing. They said that they will finance. So if we got one, it'll be $313 a month.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So if we got three, it would be $900 a month, which means to cover them, I think we could get $224 to $250 for these. I think we can get $224 to $250 a night, as long as we furnish them right.
Right.
We can get that two-night rental for each. We covered what? The payment on them?
Right.
Uh-huh. And everything else would be, everything else would go toward, you know, the land. So I would probably just take part of the payment and apply it toward the land and part of it to roll back into improvement. So we would buy, you know, the solar to go there to run certain things. Once we get up and running, then you know, that wouldn't be a problem. But for this right here, it would have to have its own solar setup. And we would run all the houses off of that same solar.
Mm-hmm.
But think about it. I'm gonna go through and price these out. I'm gonna look at what the finance charge would be. This is what we would have to come up with. Okay, and that would generate, like I said, the goal is to generate enough to pay for the land, all of it, so that we don't have that cost to deal with, which is about $1,800 a month. We get rid of that, then we can do something else with that $1,800. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay. The goal really would be, if we were going to really truly provide a, what they call a glamping, you see this word up here? Glamping.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody know what that stands for?
Camping.
Glamour camping.
Right, glamour camping. In other words, you don't just have a tent and you roughen it. You got a little bit more than just a what, tent?
Right, okay.
So it's like you're doing it glamorous.
Okay.
You're taking some amenities from home that are there. You know, you try to take your tent with you and put a bed in there like that. That means you got to carry the bed with you, right?
Right.
Yep.
And everything else. Trust me, that ain't gonna happen. When I went up this time, one of the things about going up north like that is everything that I need to survive, I need to have on the truck. Because let's say you get a flat, and you get a flat out there in the field. You got to have your jacks, you got to have boards, you got to have everything
right.
in order
mm-hmm.
to jack this truck up. And as big as these wheels are, something I didn't think about, I'm going to have to carry an extra jack. Because I don't think I can lift one of these tires by myself.
Right.
They're not, you know, the tires I have on my truck are big and they're heavy. And so if I'm trying to lift it up and put it on, you know, take it off and lift it up and put it on the lug, that could be a struggle. But if I, you know, bring another jack, then I can just roll the tire up on the jack and then jack that jack up and push the tire on there. So that's one of the extra things that I didn't take last time that I will take this time. But, you know, I took my own sleeping bag, you know, food, my own cookware, everything. All of my tools, because, you know, you could, something else could go wrong besides with a flat tire.
All right.
So you got to, you know, you got to be prepared. So going out there, you know, the truck is pretty much loaded down. So if somebody's coming out to the camp, you know, they're not going to be bringing a whole lot of what, extra stuff.
Right.
And a lot of people like, you know, camping remotely like this. So that would be one of the selling points. Then they do have a view of the valley in front of them, have a view of the mountain. They don't have a view of no river and no resort for sure. But, you know, those things. And so it's going to be a matter of, I really would like to do one like I saw in South America where they had the jacuzzi.
Mm-hmm.
in there, and you know, once we if we do that, then we can do hot running water, cold hot water. There's enough space, not in this particular one, but if we did this one, actually, this one is bigger. So no, this one is bigger. 26 feet. 26 feet is pretty big. So most people's bedrooms, like their second bedroom, is usually about 10 feet by 10 feet. So this won't go in one of those bedrooms. It's bigger than that. Does that make sense? Something
yeah.
that we can compare to. But it is, what, $8,000? But it is $313 a month. I still think that is doable. I think if we market it right, you know, we will, it's close to the Grand Canyon, not too far from the Grand Canyon, not too far from the Petrified Forest. There is state land around there where they can take hikes at and stuff. So we just draw a map to how to get to the state land.
Right.
Then there is another type of land that they can actually hunt on. That's not too far from there. Say these are the amenities and this is what's offered. But, you know, it's just, you know, I want you guys, because it's going to take all of our commitments to do this. And that's something I can do by myself. But we have to use these for ourselves. So we could actually take, what, one of these and put it up on the land, or two or three, and move to them right away. Because they will stand the cold. They will stand the heat.
Hmm.
And they are sturdy. You can actually climb up on top of this, and it won't sink in. So they are sturdy. Not what we would ideally want for the future, but if we want to get to the land and be doing what we need to do, this is an option.
All right. Uh-huh.
Questions, concerns, ideals?
No, but I like that little dog.
Which one? The other one?
No, this one right here. Which
okay.
is a stove, which is a pipe for the stove and stuff.
Right. I watched a video on these, and you know, if you order the insulation, which I believe we could probably do the insulation ourselves, but the insulation second layer that they have is really just going to be like a canvas that is set to the same design that it fits over, so it makes a layer between you and the sun. It's not just beaming directly on, you know, you hit whatever it hits, you're not just dealing with the outside layer.
Right.
And so the wind can't come through it. The sun can't come through it. So we would want that. If we order without it, I think that we can get some, what do you call them, tarps?
Uh-huh.
And a big enough tarp and throw it over it and cover it first with that. And then cut out the tarp so that everything fits.
Mm-hmm.
So that big window in the front.
Right.
And you can just make it work. I'm all about saving money where I can.
Right.
But these, I think, as far as temporary permanent housing, in other words, is not the ideal that we came up with first.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as cost, the boxables are what? How much? Like $50,000? The shipping containers. I think that the cheapest I found them, and they're not even built out or anything, is like $7,000 or $8,000. So we would have to do, you know, modifications to them.
Right.
So, but this time, the only thing we'd have to do is bring the what furniture. I think it would be the cheaper way to go, and then we would, you know, work toward getting where we want to be, you know, with the shipping containers. But we have someplace to stay, and we're living there. So, you know, we put these around in a circle, maybe facing out away from each other. Put a fire pit in the middle of it you know, with a grill, and that's, you know, that's be where we would cook at and stuff.
Right.
And we have the at least one or two picnic tables. I would then focus on getting the solar and the really focus on getting solar and the sewage done. Because I wouldn't want to use a porta potty forever. But we can get the sewage done, get the percolation test done, and put in the septic tank,
mm-hmm.
and put a toilet inside of each one of these. Yeah, and it would just work. Now, if somebody came to attack us, then we're gonna need a whole different plan.
All right.
But you can't hide behind these walls. Can't hide behind them. So, you know, we would do something different. But just food for thought. You know, everybody consider it. Because if we do this, then, again, you know, we are able to move to the land as a group faster and able to get there. So just, you know, whether you let me know now or whether you let me know later.
I'll let you know now. That's cool. Sounds like a winner.
What about you, Sister Denise?
It sounds good.
You, Sister Lorraine?
It's great.
Okay. Then we may consider going this route. Okay. And then we would be able to move there quicker. And then, you know, working on the solar and that kind of stuff, then that would become the priority. So I'm looking at that's 24,000, 25,000. I just want to look and see what it would cost us to get a loan for maybe like $70,000. And that's what we would be responsible for. And I think if we can get it and get it financed longer than maybe 15 years or 20 years, it'll make it affordable.
Wow.
And we can do that. Then the only thing, you know, from the very beginning, I would build these. Because I know what we would be doing with them, I would build them maybe 3 feet off the ground. So you'd have to have stairs to go up into it. But that would leave enough room for, what, plumbing? So when we added a bathroom, then we would be able to get up under there and add a bathroom, mm-hmm. add a toilet, right. and add the piping and let it, you know, go into the ground, that kind of stuff. And then hot and cold water. I would have to look and see. We could put a sink in there, but I don't know how we would do a shower or something like that. I'd have to look at it. Maybe we can get one of these all-in-one showers where it's just one unit. And like most showers today, where you got the tub mm-hmm. and the shower as one unit.
Mm-hmm.
And setting it in there, it's just a matter of probably would have to build a wall or something in there to hide the pipe and to make it sturdy. But we could have a sink and a shower. You're just using up more of your space, so if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So we can look at it, though. We can look at it. But it would work. But, you know, I'll price out both for what it would take to finance for the campsite, and then what it would take to finance for, you know, four of these, one for each of us, and then we'd finance that, and we get my father-in-law and say, okay, I'm going to buy all the lumber and the wood, you know, the lumber and everything, and we're going to go up here, and we're going to set these foundations. So we could do those maybe in, you know, if we're on it, we could do it in 2 days.
Mm-hmm.
You know, measure it out. This is how wide it's going to be. This is the deck, you know, amount of deck that we're going to allow. I would want to make the deck big enough that if we ever wanted to, you know, add a jacuzzi or something, you could. And the space would be there. But definitely for the ones, you know, down on the other land, I'd make the base, the decks wide enough that if we wanted to, whatever we wanted to add, we would be able to without, you know, trying to increase the deck space.
All right.
Anything that we can do up front we want to do. So it sounds good to everybody. I will put this together as a proposal. We'll take an official vote on it, and then we can see if we can get it financed.
Okay.
Okay.
Sounds good.
All right, amen. You know, and if we're putting, you know, if we're saying we're doing our Social Security or what have you, I think this is all. If we're financing it, then this would fall within the amount of money we said we could spend.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So that shouldn't be an issue. All right. That's all I have for today. And we are actually, wow, I didn't think we'd spend this much time. We are actually at 2.5 hours for a no meeting.
Well, right.
And I have to get up out of this chair or else my back will start hurting me. I got to give it a chance to, a little bit more time to heal and not aggravate it. But, yeah, I will put together that proposal for next business meeting. In the meantime, Sister Mary, give me a call so that we can try to work on – no, you said you're going to do it on your computer anyway.
Right.
So you shouldn't have that problem with trying to blow it up. So let's try to get the meeting minutes in, the ones that are passed.
Mm-hmm.
Get them in by Monday or Tuesday. I don't want to wait until next Thursday.
Okay.
If I give you the next Thursday, that's when you're going to do them. So let's do it Monday or Tuesday. That gives us time to send it out and have everybody review. And then we've got to the meeting, we can just do what? Vote on them and approve?
Okay.
Okay, so we'll do that, and then I will have this proposal, hopefully in the format that we have said we're going to use, so that everybody can use it as an example.
Okay.
And we will vote on that, or we will modify it. We'll do whatever we need to do. Okay, that being said, Sister Denise, would you pray us out?
Yeah.
Thank you, Heavenly Father, for this day, Lord. Thank you for Brother Miles, and please, Lord, let us get to where we're trying to get to. In your Son, precious Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. All right, so we'll meet next Thursday for this meeting. I don't know if we'll have a meeting Sunday to actually go over bylaws. Because we need to actually submit, you know, we need to approve and submit them with part of, you know, with our articles of incorporation. So we do, you know, we can't hold up on it and not do them. Anything that we put off, we just send it off for what, to do later?
Mm-hmm.
And I want to make sure that we stay on a steady schedule to get stuff done. And we don't really have a whole lot left to do, so I want to go ahead and do it and get it done. And then I'm going to send everybody this link to the sent through and, you know, look at the accessories and everything that they have for it and see if you think, you know, we need something or you would like to have or whatever. It's going to add to the price for sure. But then it might be something that we can do ourselves. And so, but I want you to, you know, I don't want it to just be me.
Right.
I don't have a problem making decisions, but I don't want nobody coming back later saying, Brother Miles, you did this. No, we did it.
Right.
Okay. So I really do want all of your participation in this matter. We are supposed to have what, all things in common?
Yeah.
Even the decision making. Okay. All right, with that being said, I love you. Stay safe. And may Yah bless you. May He keep you safe from all hurt and harm, seen and unseen. And until we meet again, fear Yah and keep his commandments. Shalom, family.
Shalom.
Blessing. See you guys tomorrow for Sabbath.
All right. Amen.
Amen.